What tradition, decoration, or food reminds you of Christmas at your house?
My nativity scenes. I love my nativity scenes.
Thanks, Gigi.
Eating my nanny's flan with my cousins.
Probably just like pine tree scent. Love pine trees.
What is a memory of being home for Christmas that just really means something to you?
Being with family.
A good church service and reading the night before Christmas to the kids.
I think my favorite part about Christmas is waking up on Christmas morning and being able to give presents to people and eat Christmas cookies.
What tradition, decoration, or food reminds you of being home at Christmas?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Probably the elf on the shelf, because when my siblings were younger, that just spoils a lot of the things for the kids, so take that one away. Never mind.
Good morning. The first service, I was reminded of being at camp. We had a great speaker that would lead us in that last song that they did. But then when we all got to our feet and we were rocking and swaying with them, I had the memory of being in college. I was in the gospel choir in college. I forgot about that. It was awesome to be a part of that back then, and so fun to have you all here today. So thanks for being with us this morning. Such a beautiful treat for all of us. If you haven't met me yet, I'm Diana Shiflett, and I'm the campus pastor over at the Arlington campus. I get to preach here today, and Kaz is preaching in Arlington this morning. It's working. We've been doing it since August. Last week, just to give you a little tiny update, we had 165 people show up at the Arlington campus. Yeah. When I arrived, just to give you a little tidbit, there were 40 some odd people when I interviewed. And I thought, I don't know, is God going to do this? Well, he sure has. So he's at work. And I love to watch what God's doing. And I feel like I get a front row seat to it. It's really fun to be a part of that. I want to tell you, everybody else got to tell their story on video. I haven't been videoed yet. I'm a little jealous, so I'm going to tell my story. Every Christmas, there were four kids in my family, and every Christmas we got to make a Christmas list, but it could only have 10 things on it. We had to be very, and we weren't going to get all 10 things. We knew that, but this was the suggestion list, and two of those things had to be practical, like shoes or socks or underwear or something like that, that we were going to get anyway, but that, we could put those on our list. But the great thing was, I have a January birthday, and so I was like, I'm making this list, and even though everybody else doesn't get everything on it, I just might, right? Because my birthday's coming right around the corner, so it always feels like I get Christmas for about a month, and it's pretty great to have Christmas that long. Well, on my 19th birthday, I was packing up my stuff to head back to college before my 19th birthday, because I was going to be at college on my 19th birthday, and I thought to myself, how's this going to go? This is going to be really sad. Christmas stops. My family's not going with me. They're not going to do that thing. So when we were kids, when we came down on our birthday, the birthday present was always right on the table, and so it was this exciting thing, and I thought, wow, this is going to be really sad. I've never had this moment where family wasn't with me on my birthday. So I'm 19 years old, and it was the dark ages. There were no cell phones. We had just gotten our first email addresses, but we didn't know how to use them. lo and behold, I wake up on my 19th birthday, and I go downstairs to my first class, and someone says, there's something here for you at the front, at the dorm. And I was like, what? It was a homemade chocolate cake. Love home had come to me. But I knew that my mom had not driven that into the city. I was at college in the city of Chicago, and we lived in the suburbs, and I was confident she had not done that, but I could not figure out how it had happened because of the dark ages thing. There wasn't like DoorDash then. But I later found out it was this beautiful group of women who lived close to the campus, and they would contact our parents months in advance, and they would, through snail mail, you had to put a stamp on it, and my mom had to fill out a little form and send it back, like, what is her favorite cake? And so love, home, had come to me that morning and absolutely blew my mind. I couldn't believe it was possible, right? Well, the book of John is actually what we're going to be looking at this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can pull those out. If you want to pull out your cell phone and look up scripture, we're going to be in the first chapter of John. And John kind of has a real different way that he tells the Christmas story, kind of like my birthday Christmas story. It's a real different way to look at Christmas. He doesn't even mention Mary and Joseph or even baby Jesus, really. And he, in fact, goes way back to the beginning, not the beginning like when the angels and the shepherds were hearing about it. He's actually hearkening back all the way to Genesis, all the way to the very beginning of creation. Listen to what he says in these first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made. It had been that has been made. He was talking about that Jesus was there at the beginning of time, when the world was being created. He was hearkening back that far. Thousands of years ago, then it talks about how God breaks into history, breaks in and arrives in the flesh. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light to all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came in and broke through the darkness. A lot of us have experienced darkness in our lives. This is a dark world that we live in. There is sin and brokenness throughout, which is why he had to come. We experience darkness every single day. A lot of us wake up with anxiety and it follows us through the day. A lot of us are caring for people in our lives who are hurting and broken. We are hurting and broken. But John addresses this. Jesus comes, breaks into time, and he experiences life fully like us, came very simply through a woman. He had a mom. He lived a very normal life, except that he didn't sin. And it says this in verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And I would say this is the main problem with our society today. They may have heard of Jesus. They might even have been presented with the whole concept of how Jesus can be the center of their lives, that Jesus wants to transform them, but they have rejected it. And they've said, you know, I don't need this. Verse 12 goes on to say, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, but of the husband's or a husband's will, but born of God. We have the opportunity to be in relationship with Christ, for him to come home in us. Have you ever heard someone say, this person is my home, or these people are my home? A lot of people that move a lot, they say, our family is our home. That's how you know you are home. It's not a physical building. Verse 14 says this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In the Message translation, it says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus has moved in to our neighborhood. The word dwelling in this passage is actually the same word for tabernacle. And when the Israelites were on the move towards the promised land, they had a mobile tabernacle, a mobile dwelling place for God. And they would travel with them so that they could meet with God. And then they got the temple. Like, we've all had that moment, like, I'm going to build the thing, right? It's going to be amazing. But then everybody had to journey to the temple, right? They had to move towards it. Some would journey for days in order to meet and dwell with God. The Old Testament, that's how you met with God. You had to go to the location. But when Christ enters into the world, breaks through in history, he comes in the flesh, and he comes and takes up residence here with us. We get to meet with him. In the song, O Come All Ye Faithful, it says this, Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. In the flesh. It's amazing. Back in 1999, wow, that's a long time ago now that I think about it. I was in Israel and I watched this man who was he was our travel guide, and he was telling us all about the history of Israel, and we were standing different places, and we got to this one place, and he said, and this is where Jesus stood and looked over Jerusalem and wept. And I was like, what? History. It really happened. That man did not believe that Jesus was his Savior, but he was telling me this historical figure, Jesus, stood right here and wept over Jerusalem. It's a history book. And it is one of the most accurate books out there. Yet there are people that are rejecting this. People that are not believing this. It says in Philippians 2:6-8, who being of very nature God, did not consider himself consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, rather made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, and even death on the cross. The God of the universe, the creator of the world, came to us in the humble form of Jesus Christ and died on the cross for you and I. Last February, these two women walked through the doors of Advent Arlington Church. They're in their 30s. They hadn't been to church probably in 10 years-ish. And they have families at this point. One grew up in the church, and one had not really come to church very often, sometimes went with her grandmother or whatever. And over the course of these 10 months, they have been walking in darkness. They have had some hard times. But Jesus has broken through, and he is dwelling with them. He has moved into their neighborhood, and it has been amazing to watch these two women grow in Christ. Jesus came so that we could tabernacle with him all the time, anywhere, at any time. We don't have to come to church. It's really fun to be with you all, right? He's here, but he goes out the doors with us as well if we have a relationship with Jesus. So recently I was talking to one of these women. Actually, I've been walking with these two women a lot, and we've had a lot of great conversations over the last 10 months. And the one finally said to me, she's like, I know there's a missing piece. I don't get it. I've been going to church my whole life, and there's something missing. And I was like, well, let's go to lunch. It's my favorite. Let's go to lunch and talk about Jesus. And so I thought to myself, okay, she knows it all, right? She's grown up in church. What's missing? And so I started at the beginning, just like John. And I said, in the beginning, God created the world to be perfect. He was in perfect relationship with the humans at that time, and it was beautiful. But he wanted to give us the choice to love him or not. And in that moment, those humans, those beautiful humans in perfect relationship with God, were like, well, we're just going to break that one rule. The only rule that God had, doesn't matter, we would have done it too. But Jesus loved them. God loved them so much, he figured out a way that they could be back in relationship. Even though they broke the relationship by sinning against God, he wanted to make a way to get back. And that way back was blood sacrifice. I don't know why. Okay. So then there's the tabernacle, the temple, where you would bring your blood sacrifice, your perfect little fuzzy thing. Some of us have pets. That'd be rough, right? And you would go and you would sacrifice, and that's how you would get back in relationship with God. And this is what's so fantastic about Jesus breaking through into history, flesh and blood. He was the one sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice without sin, broke into a dark and broken world and said, I am willing, God, I am willing to be sacrificed so that I can be back in relationship with you. And in that moment, she goes, that's it. I get it. The missing piece. I don't have that relationship with him. I want that relationship with him. And boom, done. It says in Romans that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All the pieces came together for her in that moment. The other friend, she's you know, going through life, and one of her friends is like, something's different about you. She goes, I know, it's Jesus. These two women have been transformed by a God who was willing to come in the flesh, break into history, lay his life down for them so that they could be in relationship with God, and it is transforming their lives. Now, John is writing all along in this book, and he gets towards the end, and he says something that's really cool for us. In chapter 20, verse 31, he says this, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why this book exists, so that we can have relationship with God. John wrote this book so that we could understand that the God that created the world wants to be in relationship with us and sent his son, broke into history in flesh, moved into our neighborhood so that we could be in relationship with him. 2 years ago, all y'all called me to be the pastor in Arlington, one of the things that was a requirement is you said you have to live in Arlington because you understand it. You know that it requires in the flesh being present to people, loving people, caring for people. Jesus came because he loved people and he wanted that deep relationship with us. It requires that kind of closeness to be in relationship with God. What I want to say to you this morning, whether you're someone who just heard that for the first time and it all made sense, or if you're the person that's been living this for your whole life, is now we get to be a part of the flesh and blood to other people. We get to share the gospel. We get to tell people that Jesus loves them. He loves you so much that he broke into history to show his love for you. He wants to transform you, but he also wants to transform your friends that aren't sitting in this room. He loves them. He wants to be in relationship with them. And he wants to be in relationship with you in such a way that transforms you so much that your friends say, there's something different about you. And you get to say, yep, it's Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you broke into the world and you allowed us to be redeemed and transformed and back in relationship with you, even though we have fallen short. God, this morning, as we sing this last song, I ask that you would allow it to be a celebration and an excitement that you came and broke through so that we could be in relationship with you. God, we love you, we trust you, and we want to be a part of what you're doing here on this planet. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.